be here this morning. I appreciate you braving the elements, and this is Western New York. We're probably going to see more things like this before our days of hot dogs and picnics, so prepare yourself, and the only way you can really prepare is give yourself a little extra time, so do that. Please be careful if for some reason your vehicle is not made for inclement weather. Please please be safe. Get a ride with somebody or let us know, and see what we can do to help you with that. John chapter 3, we'll actually be starting in verse 1. I wanted to remind you about our Christmas Eve service. We'll be on Christmas Eve, but service will be at 6 o'clock in that week. That's on Tuesday, so on Christmas Day we will not have Christmas Day service. So Christmas Eve is on the 24th. Christmas Day we will not have service. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the sweet songs that we could sing. Thank you for that Christmas hymn that we just heard. It just calms our heart. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the stillness around the Word of God. And God, as we open up your Word here this morning, I pray that you meet our needs through it. Lord, in spite of me, God, I pray that you bless here. Holy Spirit of God, and I invite you into this place, that you'd have perfect rule and liberty. And God, we would be obedient and yielded to whatever it is that you lead us. Lord, if there's corrections that need to happen, Lord, I pray you give us the courage to do it. God, if there's encouragement that's needed, Lord, I pray that you'd apply just that sweet balm of Gilead upon our soul. Encourage us here today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3, I hope it's a familiar story. Jesus just finished up from a marriage supper, and what do we know about that? He turned the water into wine, and a familiar story. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he gets word about Jesus. Maybe listen to him a little bit. We don't have every detail about Jesus. We don't have every conversation he has. We're not told of every place that he went and everything that he did. So sometimes when we read the scriptures and all of a sudden a man is changing his life for the cause of Christ, there might be a further conversation that we just don't have record of. But we have all that we need. Understand that. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, maybe hearing about what happened at the marriage of Cana, or maybe hearing him teach or preach around the temple, whatever it might have been. There was something that spurred in Nicodemus's mind that said, I need to talk with this man. Now, he comes to Jesus by night because a Pharisee, well, a Pharisee was the pretty much the keeper of the law. And Jesus was, he wasn't undoing the law, but he was fulfilling it. And the things that he was teaching were a little bit different than the things that, well, Nicodemus was teaching. So he needed more information. But he couldn't argue with the outcome of Christ. So he comes to Jesus and he approaches him. He comes to him by night as to protect his name, maybe his job, right? The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Again, we're told of the miracles that Christ did, but yet we don't have an account of one before this. So, again, things happening that maybe we don't have everything of, but enough for us. But it was enough to bring Nicodemus to Christ. Remember what brought you to Christ? You know, the Lord works differently in everybody's life. Nicodemus, it was the teaching and the miracles. The woman at the well in the very next chapter was not educated, was not wealthy. Met Jesus at the well, and what brought her to Christ was simply a thirst of her soul. So what brought you to Christ? It's funny how sometimes we despise the things that were so instrumental and helpful to us in coming to Christ. That was a hard time. How did it end? Well, I grew closer to the Lord. And then we look back and go, well, maybe it was better. Nicodemus coming to Christ in the middle of the night. Here he is, hiding, lurking around the corners. I'm sure Jesus appreciated the midnight call upon his door. Who is it? It's Nicodemus. Can I talk to you? Last night, in the middle of the night, I hear calling from another room, Hudson. Mom! Mom! I knew he didn't really need anything. So I went in and I just told him, I said, hey buddy, it's okay. We got church tomorrow. Why don't you go back to sleep? Yeah. And then he lays down. Those calls at the middle of the night. I wonder what Jesus thought Jesus knew everything, but I wonder what the others thought when all of a sudden the rabbi's at the door. Hey, I need to talk to Nicodemus, or I need to talk to Jesus. Well, he says, and he makes a very profound statement. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus responds with this. On the outset, if you read this passage, it's almost like he didn't answer the question. What's your favorite color? 7. And that's what it was. Hey, can you tell me about how you're able to do these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again. How many of you were saved maybe after the age of 20? Anybody like that? Got saved after the age of 20? How about after the age of 30? Anybody after the age of 30? All right, good hands. What would you think if you were working next to the guy or the lady? Here you are, 25 years old, and oh, you just got paired up with the born-again guy. Born-again, someone has maybe you're a little, they're a fanatic for Christ. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As we progress through this story, what do we see? The importance of being born again. And he goes on to explain it. Nicodemus doesn't understand. He says, I don't understand. How can, Zipporah was just born. Praise the Lord for that. Zipporah, it's time to be born again. Mom's saying, no way. I ain't doing that again. Miss Samantha and the babies, right? Sapphire, and hey, Luna, it's time to be born again. No, how can you be born? And ask the logical question, how can I be born again? But what is he talking about here? Is he talking about a physical birth again? No, he's talking about a new birth, a second birth, if you will. To be born again is not only to be born physically, but to be born spiritually. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't it good that God saved us from the dead? I was dead in my sins. I was without hope and I was on a fast track to hell, even at 10 years of age. Some of you raise your hands here this morning. Maybe 20, 30 plus you got saved. Where were you headed? I was headed to pay for my sin by myself. An eternal fire. But the Lord, he came by my way. Did something in my life that drew me to him. And there it was. I met Jesus Christ. You know what? Everybody has a different story about how you got to Christ. But everybody has the same story about what he did for you. He saved you from your sin. Whether you were old or young, whether you had lived a reckless life and messed things up a whole bunch and you came broken, or you came as a young person just excited about going to heaven. Either way, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved you from your sin. And that day, we transferred from death unto life. We we're born again. I don't know if you ever get this question. Sometimes I get it. What religion are you? I try and hold back. I try and figure out the person that I'm talking to, Brother Martinez. Because it would be somewhat strange if I said, well, I'm a born-again, Bible-believing, independent, fundamental, Baptist, pre-millennium Christian. That would throw them off. Well, I'd just say I'm a Bible believer. I go to the Baptist church, but I've been saved by the blood of Christ. And sometimes this scares people. Why? Because maybe the world or the media or somebody messed up this term, but I've been born again. And that's exactly what happened. I've been given a new birth. January 5th, 1978, I was physically born into this earth. Oh, but at 10 years of age, that early June of 1988, 10 years of age, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I was given a new birth. I was given a new life. I got to start all over again. And I got to grow. As much as I had grown physically at 10 years of age, and some would dare even say probably not much more physically after that. I've heard it all. But spiritually, I began a journey. A journey of learning things through the Word of God, and we're going to talk about that today. In Christ, we are a new creature. Something significant happened the day you got saved. You were born again. In 1 John chapter 5, I love this verse. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That is different than being born physically. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. But it is vital. I can't even say it's really important. No, it's much more than really important to be born again. It's necessary. It's vital. If you're here today and you don't know if you've been born again, say, I think I would have known that if I was born a second time. If you have questions about that, please allow, at the end of the service, we'll have an opportunity for you to be born again. So how does that happen? It's just simply by showing you some things through the scriptures. And I would love to share those things. But let me say this. After coming to Christ, not only do we have a new birth. How do you celebrate your spiritual birthday? Maybe not with cake. Maybe we should start doing that. Cake and presents. But every now and then, maybe Mrs. Bear. 37 years ago in the old sanctuary, Mrs. Kopacheski. Right? You know when you got saved. I know when I was physically born, I don't remember it, but my birth certificate says so. So January 5th, every year we do a little something or somewhere around there. But do you have a date? Do you have a set of circumstances when you were born again? No, this is just how it's always been. I was raised in the Christian. No. There's got to be a time when you ask Christ to save you from your sins. Believing, it says. Whosoever believeth. Got to be a time when you made that decision for the new birth. After that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I have a lot of points, but they're quick. So how does that help? Probably not. Is it warm in here? A little bit? No. Some are saying no. People are like this. No, it's not hot. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hey, while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not a hard passage to find, but I do want to say this. Tonight, I invite you back to say, this is a trick. No, I want you to come back tonight. We got some special announcements, some special testimonies. I want you to be here tonight. Got some things I want to share with you about some upcoming things. So be here tonight, 6 o'clock, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So number one, as we're going through our lesson or this message this morning, number one, the new birth. Number two, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say, how do I get in Christ? To be born again. That was point number one. If that's you, then he is a, what does it say? New creature. Say it with me. New creature. What does that mean? That means everything is different. Some years, I think it was last year, my sister caught these little worms. Well, they were big worms, and she had them sitting on her kitchen table. Say, don't you do that? And they were eating leaves, and then they became butterflies. Is that true? Right? That happened in-house, right? How many did you have? Two or three? Yeah, three. The creature that goes in is not the same creature that comes out. It's a new creature. And you know what? That's kind of what happens with us in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And here's what should happen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God gives us a... I remember years ago, and I'm really going to date myself, Brother Primer. When I was a kid, for fun, we used to play a Nintendo. Anybody remember a Nintendo? You had to blow in the cartridges, right? Remember that? All right, you had to sit like this far away from the TV because there was no cables available anywhere. So you're that far away, and there you are. And they had this button. Next to the power button, they had this what button? Reset. Man, many of fights happened at our house because we were deep into our game and someone came by and bumped the reset button. Oh. And now here we are, 30, 40 years old, and we go, man, I wish I could hit a reset button in my life. How nice would it be, knowing what I know now, to start again? And you meet people out on the street, and you meet people at their door, and they're living with the consequences of their decisions, and they're just waiting for someone to say, do you know you don't have to live like this anymore? You can leave these things behind and you have a new life ahead of you, that there's something better for you out there. After the new birth, you become a new creature in Christ. Man, do you remember when you got saved and how your mind almost overnight started to change? All of a sudden, the things that didn't bother you all of a sudden started bothering you. Things that you used to say never bothered your language, but then you came to Christ and all of a sudden it's like, I feel like I need to be in church. I feel like I should change something. What is that? That's the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, because you were a new creature. You were born again, and although you look the same or you had the same components, the Bible says some things start going away. Some things ought to be passed away. Hey, were there ways of your life before meeting Christ that needed to go away? Absolutely. Right? There was lifestyles, there was decisions, there was maybe substances that needed to change. And God in His tender hand and perfect leading in your life, He did that and He touched your heart and maybe some things went away. And praise the Lord, you're a new creature. Some old things passed away, never to be picked up again. Man, praise the Lord for that. Not only was there a new birth, but there's a new creature. A new creature. You're all different. Remember years ago, I think it was George Bush. He was was he 41? Who's the son? Was he 41? I don't remember. You read books on this. Okay, very good. George Bush, owner of the Texas Rangers, that George Bush. And man, he lived a wicked lifestyle before. He was an alcoholic and did bad things. And then in his own testimony, he comes to Christ. And it worked out really well in his campaign because they're like, yeah, what about this stuff? And he's like, yeah, but that was the old man. I don't do that anymore. Yeah, but look at all these bad things we found in your life. He's like, yeah, I acknowledge all that, but I came to Christ here and that stuff is in my past. And it's like, whoo. Man, I hate when the Bible works. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord, you have an opportunity to be a new creature here. We ought to be a new creature. It would be strange if the butterfly was walking around on the ground, wouldn't it? Hey, you don't have to do that anymore. That's the old man. No, you get to fly and flutter and be pretty and go from tree to tree. You don't have to stay right in this little area. You can fly. And you look so much better. You're so much more beautiful. Hey, Christian, you can fly. You're a new creature. You're not strapped down by your sin anymore. What a beautiful thing. Not only is there a new birth, not only do we have a new creature. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Romans 6, 4. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in what? Newness of life. Not only do we have a new birth, not only are we a new creature, but now we have a new life. We're not just talking about eternity from God figured out our eternity. Yes, he did. He changed our eternity. As a lost person, do you know where I was going? I was going to hell. And then I got saved, and you know where I'm going? Man, it's a long walk across that. Have a water station halfway. Come over here, and now know where I'm going? I'm going to heaven. But you know what? He didn't just fix eternity. He gave me a new life. The day-to-day present time changed everything. The Bible says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What happens when we crucify somebody? They died. Hey, that old life, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is gone now. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We put off the old and no longer a servant to sin. Wouldn't it be strange if on Thursday night, praise the Lord for Brother Lauke, went to the prison, but week before I was there, and if we got in and we're checking in and they want our driver's license, we give the driver's license and he says, oh, there's the guard, armed guard, boom, gun on the side. Go through the metal detector, make sure my Bible's okay. And he says, Mr. Russo, you have a privilege tonight. I said, what's that? He goes, you can pick one guy and take him out with you. He's going to be free to go. You get to pick anybody. Oh, I know who I'd pick. I'd go right up to, I know he's in a red jumpsuit, but I'd pick David. I like David. The little Mexican guy sits up front. He sings out and shakes your hand and always thanks me for coming. He's not Mexican. He's from Nicaragua, but sorry. I had to think it through. And I would say, David, hey, I got good news for you, buddy. They told me I could, don't tell the other guys, but I get to get you out of here. He's been in there, what did he say, 28 months or something like that? There we go. They dismiss everybody. They come with me and they bring him out. And there we are at the gate. And there his family is. And they're excited and they're meeting him and all that. And he says, you know, they go and they grab a bite to eat in downtown Batavia. I don't know what's there. Nothing. They go to Oliver's and get chocolate. And he says, all right, you can take me back to the prison. I'm like, no, you're free. No, I want to go back. No, you're free. You don't have to wear chains anymore. You don't have to be checked for everything. You don't have to sleep in a cell anymore. You're free. You have a new life now, David. No, I want to go back. You think that would be crazy. Why would you do that? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why would you go back to that? You were saved from that. You're a new creature in that. You now have a new life. Look at where the old life was taking you. Why on earth would we go back to that? Why would we? It's like us pounding on the gate of the prison. Let me back in. I want to serve my sin again. Why would you do that? How'd that work out? It was awful. Remember the mess? Remember? Remember the new birth? Remember where Christ found you? Remember how he turned you into a new creature? You now have a new life. And we put off the old. We are no longer a servant of sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told that we need to put on the new man. What is that new man? It's righteousness and holiness. So if I've been born again, the Bible says I'm a new creature. And because of that new creature, now I have a new life. Right? If we think about our little butterfly, new life. No longer walking around on the ground worrying about a bird coming by. Now they get to fly around. And worry about a bird coming by. New life, though. New way. Hey, it ought to look different. The lost man and the born-again Christian ought to look different. The way of their life is different. The one was a servant of sin. The other is righteousness and holiness. Are you living the new life? Or are you pounding on the prison gate saying, let me back in? See, how does that happen? So glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Say, I want to live the new life. What do I need to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says this, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, we read that, right? The old man. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hey, if we're going to live this new life and we're going to be successful as a new creature in our new birth, what am I going to need to do? Well, I'm going to need to renew the man, the inward man, day after day. Bible reading, prayer time, being faithful witness. You understand that telling other people about Christ helps the new man. Gets you excited, reminds you of the new birth. Was there ever a point in your life that you forgot you got saved? Forgot what it meant to be saved? It's good to remind. Ever get a chance to share your testimony with someone that's lost and actually listening? Man, that's exciting. That is exciting times. Those, you get fired up. I don't care whether you're Italian or not. You're talking loud. Your hands are moving. Why? Because something happened. You're excited about it. Renew the inward man day by day. Bible reading, prayer time, witnessing. When's the last time you shared your testimony with somebody? When's the last time you said no to the flesh? We have a new life. New birth, new creature, new life. Oh, I like this. Not only that, but we got a new name. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it warns us, reminds Peter that he was of his father, the devil. I carry the same last name as my father. And that just gets passed on. Well, that first Sunday in June of 1988, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And you know what? I got a new last name. I got a new father. I got a new father and God the Father. And the Bible says this, kind of like Peter, where his name got changed, my name got changed too. Because as being a follower of Christ, a tag got placed on me. Christian. I like it. I like it, Christian. I think it's a good name. Christian agrees. You know, there's things that we could do that would maybe disgrace our family. Maybe you think about that. I'm not going to do this. This would be a ill mark upon our family name. Hey, those things should warn us as we are as Christians. Hey, what I'm about to do, is this going to reflect well upon the Heavenly Father? Because I got a new name now. In Antioch, they were first called Christians. Paul, Agrippa even says this to some, maybe 10 or 14 chapters after they were first called Christians in Antioch. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That was a familiar term all of a sudden. Why? Almost you made me want to be a follower. Almost I left my life. Almost I got in on the new birth. Almost I was a Christian. Is that how we live? Almost. No, let's be part of the new birth. Let's be that new creature. Let's live the new life. Let's carry around our new name. Hey, let's change our language. Look at in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. When you come to Christ, everything changes. Everything. You have a new life. You have a new name. I like this. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, what does it say? Do all in the name of the, who? Lord Jesus. Not only do I have a new name, not only do I have a new life, not only am I a new creature, not only have I been born again, but now I got a new language. Hey, before you were saved, did you even care about what God thought about your words? Not at all. You'd lie, you'd say cursings. Before Christ, anybody had a bad mouth? Sure. Isn't it good that He gives us a new language? Ever be in the store and you hear someone, they're looking at something or whatever, and or the bill comes up and you hear someone say, "Oh, praise the Lord." Whew. What? Who are you? Where do you go to church? Chances are I know your pastor. Why? Because a new language. All of a sudden we start, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all what? In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He's given us a new language. Wouldn't it be strange if the Christian sounded just like the lost? Wouldn't it be strange if the same jokes that the Christian told were the same ones that the lost one told? Now, dad jokes are good, and I think they transfer over. I get those. I like those ones. They're clean, they're nice, they're happy, and they make my kids roll their eyes. Dad. But one day they will be saying the same jokes. It's hereditary. But wouldn't it be strange? Wouldn't it be wrong? Mom, Dad, can we watch this? Well, let me see. There's just a little bit of cursing. That's all right. Is that okay? The Bible tells us to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. No corrupt communication. That's the new life in Christ. New life in Christ. We ought to have a new language. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34 that we ought to use our mouth in verse 1 to bless the Lord at all times. Whew, that's a long way down. All right, Psalm 34, verse 1. Bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. As a Christian, I also have a new opportunity in language. It's called prayer. Didn't have that as a lost person. So I prayed as a lost person. Didn't go very far. I'm just here to tell you. He was waiting for one prayer and one prayer only. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Boom. All of a sudden, now it is unlimited plan. Free data, unending calls, texts. You can access the Father all the time. You have a new language. Praise the Lord for that. New birth, new creature, new life, new name, new language. Oh, I like this one. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Say, you're right. You do have a lot of points this morning. That's all right. We're doing good. You don't want to go outside anyways. Look at it out there. It's awful. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. New friends. I can't stress the importance of when you get saved, find friends that are looking to serve the Lord also. Pair up with them. Hey, you're new in the body of believers. Lock arms with someone that's going in the right direction. Or else, you're going to make your walk just that much harder. See, we've been friends for 10 years. You want me to just cut them out of my life? No, try and draw them to Christ. But you better not lock arms with them. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. That happens every time. It's a promise of God. How many of you here this morning that said, yeah, I made some bad decisions as friends, and I still regret that? Anybody like that? Sure. I chose the wrong friends. Hey, can I tell you the benefit, though, of having good friends? It's wonderful. I tell you last night, Seth and Roy were here working on this stuff till, what time are you guys here till? Where is he? Over here. Like 10 o'clock, right? And then a couple of the ladies came and some of our kids came. And so from like 10 to like 11:30, they were cleaning. Say, oh, not when you're doing it with friends. That's a great time. Those are great memories. Remember when we were at church till almost midnight cleaning? What was the last good thing you did with your friends? I heard it said like this. Pick your five closest friends in your life. Five closest. Say, okay, got them. That's you. That's you. That's who you are. Say, I don't like that. You know what you got to do then. if your five closest friends aren't what you want to be, get new friends. Surround yourself by people that are not perfect, but at least trying to head in the right direction. They'll strengthen you. Because otherwise, the old friends will just pull you right back into the old life. New name, new language, new friends. I like this one. You say that about all of them. Well, it's the Word of God. How do you not like it all? Proverbs chapter 4. It probably wouldn't be very encouraging if I said, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this verse. This is a bad verse. Proverbs chapter 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is your heart important? Yes, right? Look at, now jump over to Psalm chapter 40. I hope you're writing these things down. I don't think you'll be able to remember them all. New birth, new creature, new life, new name, new language, new friends. Psalm 40 and verse 3 says this. And he hath put a, what does it say? New song. Hallelujah. A new song. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even as praise unto my our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. A new song. I was doing some reading about the influence of secular music on action. So how did that go? Honestly, it didn't go as I thought. I thought there was going to be direct ties between, you know, violent rock and rap music and violent behavior. Say it didn't? Well, here's what I'll tell you what I found. Violent actions are much, both towards others and themselves, are much more complex than one external piece of thing going on in someone's life. But you add a bunch of things together, and they all blend together and create, many times, perfect storms. Where a 14-year-old girl is being physically abused, bullied by her friends, family tells her she's not wanted, struggling in school, and then you add that violent music, and then you have a very complex and dark situation. It does work together. It's not the catalyst, but it is another thing. There is a supportive role of violent music in violent behavior. You understand that? It's not the only thing, but there is a connection between seductive music and seductive behavior. They're not independent of each other. But he hath put a new song in my mouth. Now I can sing about something good. And you know, the Lord changes us. He's given us a new birth, a new creature, a new life, a new name, new language, new friends. He even changes the song of our heart into something that can sing praise to him. Look at Psalm 149. Wouldn't it be strange if I've been born again? The Bible tells me I'm a new creature. I have a new life. He even changed my name. He's given me a new language. I got new friends. And yet I listen to the same thing I did when I was lost. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Look, a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. That's why we sing together. Because the Bible tells us to. He's given us some new songs. Say, we sing old songs. I understand that, but it's a new song to our heart. And we're going to sing them together in the congregation of the saints. We sing together. One with another. A new song. Hey, if you're listening to things that you know that you ought not to be, things that you used to listen to in the old life, I know this personally in my life. Some, I don't know, 20 years ago, when I wasn't doing as well as I should have, maybe 20 plus years ago, I know my music wasn't doing as well as it should have been. They just go hand in hand. Hey, let's be part of the new song. He's given us not only a new song, but Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get through these quick. You said that about the rest of it. I understand. But isn't this exciting stuff? Like, Christ changes everything. When I've been born again, everything changes. I'm a new creature. I have a new life, new name, new language, new friends. Even the songs that are in my heart are different. And Ephesians, did I tell you Ephesians chapter 4? I'm not there. Hold on. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A renewed mind, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do I clean up my mind? Through the word of God. He's given us a new mind. He'll change the way you see things. Say, how is that? Through the word of God. Because before, which leads us right into our next point, and I'll just say it. A new authority. Before Christ, you were in charge of your life. You controlled what you thought. You controlled what you did. But when you came to Christ, everything changed. And now, I put myself under the authority of the Scriptures. I put myself under the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. And that dictates how I see things. Whether I like it or not. Whether I agree with it or not. I am under the authority, a new authority. I have a new mind. I'm under those things. Why? Because I'm a new creature now. And I'm no longer living for myself, but I'm living for God Himself. Lastly, a new purpose. Before you came to Christ, what were you living for? Me. What were you trying to do? Everything I possibly could. Now you came to Christ. Well, if I have a new life and if I'm a new creature and I got all these other new things, you also have a new purpose. Say, what is that? To replicate what happened in you. In somebody else. That is your new purpose. Your most important purpose is to glorify God and tell other people about Jesus Christ. That they could get in on the new life. That they could get in on the new name. That they can get new friends. That they could have their life all changed. Anybody regret their salvation? Anybody say, that was the worst decision I've ever made. It was, how about not even that? How about, okay, so that would be over here. Worst decision I ever made was trusting Christ to save me from my sin. No one would say that. Is there any degree, though, that you would say, I kind of wish I wouldn't have? No one. No one in their right mind would ever say, I'm worse from coming to Christ. Nobody would say that. So if Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that ever happened to you, why wouldn't you want to replicate that to somebody? If Jesus Christ is the greatest thing, the greatest change that ever happened to your life is coming to Jesus Christ, new birth, new all of this, well, now I have a new purpose to tell other people, to try and replicate that as someone did in you. Aren't you glad someone didn't say, well, I'm glad I got in, I'm enough? Aren't you glad the person that led you to Christ didn't take the day off that day? Aren't you glad the person that led you or was the example to Christ took their faith seriously? Can't we be that to somebody else? I'm thankful for a Dorothy Kopacheski that led half this congregation to the Lord. Praise the Lord for people like that who not only said it but lived it. Got a hold of the new life. Allowed Christ. Is there a Christian that's perfect? No. But which way are you heading? Are you holding on to the prison bars, demanding to get let back in? Or are you saying, I can't get away from that stuff fast enough? I'm telling you, David would be on his first ticket back to Nicaragua as fast as possible. Get me out of here. That place did me no good. You as a servant of sin or of righteousness? Let's all stand.